We hope you enjoy listening to this weekly podcast from Lifeline Church. You can find out more and discover our other podcasts by searching for Lifeline Church, visiting lifelinechurch.co.uk, or by taking a look at our YouTube channel, Lifeline Church Dagenham.
Praise the Lord. I want to thank each and every one of you and those leaders of this house for this opportunity where I can really share what God has placed in my heart for a time like this. I really am thankful to God that I can be here one more time with Lifeline family. We've been together, Mark McGrath, from 1987. I was with John Hilton, Harry, Tina, we all are from the 1980s. So we've been together for many years, and we are still here. And we thank God for that. We are really living in some excited time. And I believe we are going to transition into even better times. Because in the month of February, I was in the United States by my daughter, and the Lord woke me up in the early mornings, and he told me this word. Because my heart was, God, I just finished a whole series on the book of Ephesians, and it is God's church. He builds his church. The church that God built, the word of God says that the gates of hell will not prevail. So whatever we want to do, we have to go to him. We cannot do anything in our own strength. We cannot do anything by ourselves. We have to depend on God. So my prayer was, God, what are you saying to us? What do you want the church at this time to do, the body of Christ? And the thing the Lord spoke to me on was faith. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God has to come believing that he is God. So I woke up and I told my daughter, and I came back and I told the church, we're going to start on faith until probably Jesus come. But because it's impossible to please God. So what is God saying to us as a body of Christ, as a family of Lifeline? It's his church, first of all. It's his church. And he's calling to an awakening, to rise up. But we must rise up in faith, in believing. You see, sometimes we may say, I know the word. You understand? We may say, we can recite the word, we can declare it. But if it's not mixed with faith, there is no manifestation. So we are entering an era, a time that, as God showed me, he said, it not enter into the heart of man what I am about to do. He said, not even try to think on it, because it will blow our minds with what God is about to do in these last days. With us as the body of Christ. But we must trust him. There is where it all started. We must rise in faith. We must believe God. And as I came back to St. Martin, everybody were talking about faith. So I know it's God. God wants us to trust. What is faith? Just believe him for who he is. Do not look at your surroundings. Do not look at your situation. God is much greater than your situation. He's much greater than your surroundings. So I'm going to share two or three stories of the Bible to show you how God wants us to use our faith. Let us open our Bible in the book of Judges, chapter 5. And we will go to verse 7. Now, it talks about Deborah. It talks about the song of Deborah, the song of victory. She and Barak sang. She was a poet. You understand? She was a worshiper. How she sang that song after the victory. But what touches me is when God spoke to me and he says in verse 7, the condition of Israel because of their sin. It says in verse 7, Judges 5, the inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose. That I arose a mother in Israel. What can we see of this? The highways were deserted. The travelers walk and find another way to go. Village life ceased. Everything ceased in Israel because there was so many injustice, so many crime because of Sisera, the captain, and how they infiltrated and what they were doing and how they were killing the people and the pregnant women, they were ripping the babies out of them. It's so much harm. The people were so afraid. The people were in fear. Wow. But then it says, until I, Deborah, arose as a mother. I want you us to listen to this very carefully. She was a judge. She was a worshiper. She was a poet. She was a prophetess. But in this situation, it was not the prophetess. It was not the judge. It was not the worshiper. It was not the poet. It was a mother. She said, I arose as a mother. So what God is telling us, God is looking for leaders who willingly give herself because she spent time in the presence of the Lord. She knew the heart of God. She interceded for Israel. She was crying out for them, for their situation. When you wanted to know where Deborah is, you just have to go on the palm of Deborah. You will find her there. And her heart was with the people until they cry out to God for help. And she willingly gave herself. So God is looking for leaders who willingly give themselves. Not as a prophetess, not as a judge, not as a worshiper, but as a mother. What do I want to say this morning? A mother is compassionate. A mother is merciful, is caring. It's all about people. When we lose that focus, we lose everything. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about fame. It's not about what I can get or how many people can look at me. It's about I reaching out to people. It's always about people. God so loved the world that he gave. It's always talking about reaching out to people. Deborah arose in faith, not for her own self, but for her nation. I want to say something this morning, and it's God wants this generation to arise in faith. We have to step over. We don't have to talk only about God. We have to leave God manifest in our life. The world has to see God. Paul said it in this way. He said, I come to you not with the wisdom of man, but I come to you with the wisdom of God and demonstration of the power. Now we are reaching a time where God wants to demonstrate his power through us. So we have to give ourselves willingly. You know, many of us right here, there's so many gifts in us that is dormant. There's so many people waiting that those gifts be activated in our life. Be activated. But we have to give ourselves willingly. God wants this generation to arise in faith. Why? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what is it? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about what I'm doing. It's about, and I learned this from John, it's about why do you do what you're doing? So many of us can do a lot of good things, but why are we doing it? What is the motive? What is motivating us to do what we are doing? We have to rise up as a mother. A mother, many times, maybe she don't want to get up in the morning, maybe she don't want to cook, but there's something that motivates her, and it's love, compassion, mercy. It's not to be seen. Whatever we do have to be mixed with faith. If I sing, I have to, and worship, I have to worship knowing that someone is going to be touched because it's mixed with faith. Whatever we do, we have to do it mixed with faith. So, how do we see Jesus? How do we perceive him? How do we perceive? Now, I'm a Christian, but how do we perceive him? A lot of times I listen to the testimonies, how they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you don't need more faith than that to receive healing. You don't need more faith than that to receive a miracle in your life. It's the same faith. It's how you perceive it. So sometimes we see our problems big, and we think, I need a lot of faith. No, it's how do you perceive Jesus? I'm going to talk about two persons, and then we go back to Deborah. Let us start with the centurion. He was a Roman. He was a Gentile. I suppose he heard about Jesus, about the miracles he had performed. Perhaps Jesus' fame was spreading all over, and he heard about it. It's like today. So many things are happening around us. So many changes. So many laws are changing. Everything is happening so fast around us. But we are the body of Christ. We are the ambassadors of the kingdom here on earth. The earth is our inheritance. So what do we do about it? How do we perceive Jesus? Do we come in the wisdom of man, or do we come in the wisdom of God in the demonstration of the power of God? This centurion, he heard about Jesus. Probably heard, he walked on waters, calmed the seas, demons fleeing, but he heard about Jesus. But now he was presented with a case that one of his servants, maybe faithful, obedient, was about to die. What he heard and what he was told about Jesus casting out demons, or how he obeyed, the sea obeyed him, or everything he heard changed his perspective of how he saw Jesus. I hope this morning, as we leave this place, we come out with a different perspective of how we see Jesus. We can see him more real in our life, because it is very vital for our spiritual life and for us to see the supernatural manifestation of God in these last things. God is about to do something that we eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. He has something great prepared for us who believe. So when the centurion came to Jesus, Jesus was willing to go into his house. Now we know in those days, it was not, well, I wouldn't say permitted for a Jew to go into a Gentile's home. But you see, Jesus came for those that were sick. He was a physician. He broke every rule in that sense. He said, I'm going to go to your home. I'm going to lay my hands on your servant, and he shall be well. Now, this is what touched me. The centurion looked and said, I'm not worthy for you to come into my home. So I sat and think, maybe because he was a Gentile. But then the Spirit quickened me and said, no. Because he saw authority in Jesus. Because he was a man of authority. He recognized what was authority. When he heard all of this that Jesus was doing, I mean, what do you think about Jesus? That was a Sunday school song that we sang many years ago. What do you think about Jesus? He's all right. And I want to tell you, he's more than all right. But a lot of us stay right there. He's all right. But when he heard of what was happening, we can read about all the miracles. We can see things happening. But what do we think about Jesus? He thought something different. He said, I'm a man of authority. I tell these people, go, and they go. I tell this one, come, and they come. But he's saying he's talking to trees, and he's talking to the sea, and everything is obeying him. He's higher authority. So he didn't want Jesus to come into his house because he was a Gentile, because he saw higher authority. Now, this is where our vision has to change. How do you see Jesus in your life? He heard about it. He heard about it. I'm going to talk about myself a little. And thank God for Jamie. He's given me 5 minutes more. So, it's good to hear about Jesus. But when problem come knocking at your door, my door, my house, my family, my servant, it came to his home. It's not people talking about him now. He said, well, my servant is very sick. He went to look for Jesus, not for himself. You see, many of us see Jesus, oh my God, Jesus, I need a car, I need a house, I need this, I need that. But he went looking for Jesus because his servant was sick, paralyzed, dying. His servant faith was failing, but his faith is what saved his servant. So God wants the church to arise in faith to save this world. What is happening around us? It can be changed just like that. But it depends on us. So it's beyond coming to church. It's beyond sitting in a chair. Because when it hit my home, when my first granddaughter, 6 months, 7 months in the belly, got a stroke, they didn't say, they gave no hopes she was going to die. They were twins, both of them. At that time, it was no longer, he's all right. At this time, it was manifestation and power. So I went to God and I went on my knees and I said, God, before my daughter got pregnant, you told me she would have twins. And she was pregnant with twins. And you said you will use them at the early age. So it doesn't matter what the doctors say, what the specialists say. They said they would not live. She was only 1 pound. Another one was 2 pounds. But they will live because there is a word upon their life. And it seems like the more I pray, the more news were negative. So the centurion recognized something in Jesus. He said, "You are a man of authority. You can just say the word, and my servant will be healed." You know, Jesus was looking for that faith among Israel. He never found it. He found it in a Gentile. He said, "I have never seen such faith, not even in Israel." So he's looking for that faith to manifest. And I'm believing, God, that we are entering an era that we will see that faith manifest in us. How will it manifest? Speak the word. Align with the word. Faith aligned with the word brings manifestation. So everything around was just going more negative. And we have to know who we surround ourselves with, because we have to speak the same language. And I always say it is the language of the kingdom. Because in the kingdom, on earth, everything moves like with, finance. If you want to buy, so it's finance, but not in the kingdom. In the kingdom, everything moves by faith. Everything moves by faith. So we have to really believe God beyond of what we see, beyond of what we hear, beyond of what the doctors say. We have to stand. And it's not easy, because our whole mind and body has been programmed in a different way. So we have to be deprogrammed again and believe God. How many praise the Lord this morning? So this centurion, he understood that Jesus had authority over everything. All the miracles were true words. It was true believing God. He saw in Jesus an authority beyond anything found on earth. With his faith, he submitted to the authority found in Jesus' word. "I am a man of authority," he said. "I tell my servant, go, they go. I tell the other one, come, they come." He saw all the creation, illness, demons, submit to that authority that Jesus had. He saw there was no limit to distance. The authority that God gave us, it has no limit to distance. That faith in Jesus. Authority in his word, in who he is. Jesus said, "Wow, wow." Because it touched Jesus deeply. Because that faith is what he seeks in Israel, in the church, in you, in me. He found it in a publican. In someone who isn't religious, but believes in the authority of God. How far does your faith in God go? Can we believe God for our community? How many can say amen? Can we believe God for our neighborhood? Can we believe God for our family? For our servant? But can we believe God for our nation? How much do we love God? How much do we love our neighbors? Believe God for them. How much do we love our enemy? You see, the enemy came to divide us, separate us, so he can prey on us, so he can bring us down, so he can oppress. Your mind is bombarded every day. Sometimes you can't think. Look at Jesus. He went another place. He went to Nazareth. He did a lot of miracles in Capernaum. Now he's going to Nazareth. And when he reached to Nazareth, everybody was like, "Oh, I know him. He's a carpenter. I know him. Look, his brothers are here with us. His sisters are here with us." And you know what the word of God says? Jesus could not perform no miracles because of the way they perceive him. the way they saw him. Who is Jesus to us? Situation that comes in our life, it is that Jesus may manifest. I'm talking to you from my heart. In 2010, I had pulmonary embolism. Both my lungs, both my arteries, everything was blocked. I was 3 days in intensive care. They say if I pass 3 days, then they will work on me. But the blockage was going to my heart, so they didn't give me 3 days. The third day, the machine said, beep. So I always give the testimony, and I said, I saw the doctors come in, and I saw the nurse, and I saw them touching the machine, and I saw it. And last year, the Holy Spirit, while going to church, stopped me, and he asked me this question. How did you know that the doctors came in? I never hit my mind. How do you know? I saw them. How did you see them if you were asleep? And my testimony changed. I left my body. I saw them came in, 3 doctors, 1 nurse. I saw them touching the machine. I saw myself on the bed. I saw when the nurse came and she started hitting my feet. And then I turned around and looked at her. I was like, wow, they're doing here. And they were like, oh no, maybe she just slept on one of the cords because it had me, and maybe the machine just flipped. But the Holy Spirit said, God brought you back for a time like this. For a time like this. That I can share with you on faith and believing God. I'm telling you. My landlord, I told you it hit my home. My landlord token got sick. When I went to see him in the hospital, they took him off all the machines. The doctor said, we cannot do anything else for him. Pus was coming through his mouth. He couldn't speak. He couldn't talk. He couldn't move. Everything. And when I look at him, there was no hope. But I just hold his hand and I said, can we agree? And he was like, I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I said, I'm going to pray and we're going to agree. You will live. You will not die. We're going to agree. And when I came out, his ex-wife was coming in and I went down in tears. I cried and I said, no more, get yourself together. They gave him 2 weeks. 2 weeks passed. His wife called me. He said, okay, they're going to put him in the hospice because the most he can stay is 3 months. There's no hope for him. And one day I'm home, God told me, go to the hospice. And I went to the hospice. And he was there. They had some worship songs playing. And I went, I said, Kenneth, we are here again. Can we continue to agree? This time he looked at me. And I said, let us pray. And we prayed again. And I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, it's not in my name. It's nothing that I can do. I have no weapon. I have nothing. But I have faith in you. 3 months passed. And they said, let us take him out to the hospice because this man is not going to die now. Can I tell you something? That's 2 years ago and he's still alive. Give Jesus a hand clap. Did I pray for other people and they passed away? Yes. But it doesn't stop me from praying. And it doesn't stop me from believing God. How many understand what I'm saying? We have to believe Christ for who he is. So when Jesus couldn't do any miracles, the word of God says it was because of one thing. They didn't honor Jesus. They didn't believe in him. They saw him as the son of the carpenter. They knew his brothers. They knew his sister. They were familiar with him. They heard of the miracles he performed, but there he couldn't perform any. And you know what the word of God said? Jesus was amazed of their unbelief. So let us go back. He was amazed of one's faith, and he was amazed of the other's unbelief. How do we perceive Jesus? How do we look at him? How do we embrace him when the situation hit our home, hit my family, hit my granddaughters, hit my daughters? How? What do we do about it? We keep trusting Christ. We keep trusting. Do not give up. There's a lot of gifts inside of you that is waiting to come forth. But you have to keep trusting Christ. Because those gifts, if to manifest his power, it's to manifest what he wants to do. So it's all about him. And I only have to believe. The word of God talks about Jesus being hungry. And when he went to the fig tree, there was only leaves. There were no fruit. God is looking for fruit in us. He's looking for faith in us. He says, just a fig tree. When Jesus was hungry, the fig tree had to produce. Whether it was time to produce or whether it's not time to produce. Every creation, everything have to submit to him. Can we see Jesus that way? Can we really perceive him as the man and authority, and I'm under authority, depending on him? Jesus is hungry for faith. Jesus wants faith to be incorporated in everything we do, in our worship, in our preaching, in our service, in our prayer. I'm sharing this from my heart, and I'm believing that you will go out from this place a different person, trusting Christ more. Amen? So we're going to come to finalize, but we're going to go back to Deborah. Israel, because of their sin, they've been oppressed by the enemy. For 20 years, the enemy disarmed Israel. No weapon, no productivity, no faith, only fear. They were only walking in fear. The route they used to go before, they changed it because of fear. How they used to live was changed because of fear. And a lot of times in our life, we make decisions because of fear. But God wants us now to walk in faith, not in fear. What we hear, what we see, what we hear on the news, it causes fear to arise in us. If we have to go to the doctor, it causes fear. But God don't want us to walk in fear because he's above everything you can hear. He's above everything, every bad news. He's above it. So we have to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible says there were confusion. There were bandits all over the place. There was no safety nowhere for the people. Speaking spiritually, Satan doesn't only want to oppress the Christian, he wants to disarm them. So he wants you to not use your armor. The word of God says we have to arm ourselves with the whole armor of God. You understand? The breastplate of righteousness is not your righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ. So when God look at us, he look at the righteousness of Christ in us. So it's nothing what you can do that makes you better for God. It's just accepting what Christ did for you and walk in his righteousness. The shield of faith, he's disarming. we get ourselves in situation and we was like, how am I going to get out of this? Who can I talk to? Where can I go? Who can I trust? And we get ourselves that sometimes we try to fight the battle by ourselves because we don't trust no one. Because we can't talk to nobody, because if I talk to this person, then somebody else might know my problems. So we keep it to ourselves. You know, when you keep it to yourself, the enemy literally is disarming you. Like how we had Israel. And here comes God and Deborah gave herself, and God gave a word to Deborah and said, go and tell Barak, I have given the enemies over to him. I have given him the victory. Barak looked at, he said, Deborah, I know you're a prophetess. I know you hear from God. But if you're not going, I'm not going. Why? Because he was afraid? I don't think so. Because he lacked more faith or he lacked faith? Maybe not. But you know, there are times in our life that we need someone to stand with us. We need support. We need somebody we can trust. We need somebody we can talk to. How many can identify with me in that? We need it. And I believe this is what Barak needed. And I cannot blame him. You know why I can't blame him? Because they're going up against the worst enemy ever. With, I think, 700 chariots. They're going up to war and they have no weapon. So we can look at Barak and said, oh, he said, Deborah, if you're not going, I'm not going. He needed support because he's still looking. He heard a word, but he's still looking at, we have no weapons. It's totally dependence on God. Totally depending on his word. Totally trusting God's word. What word? That I have given you the victory already. But the instructions, listen to me now, were specific. God will not ever put you in a battle that he will not give you the instruction to come out of that battle. Give Jesus a hand clap this morning. The instructions were so specific. Why? We can see that in chapter 4, 6 and 7. He said, go. He told, God told Deborah to tell Barak, had not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw towards the Mount Tabor and take with thee 10,000 men and of children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And the verse 7 from chapter 4 of Judges says, and I, who's that I? God. And I will draw unto thee to the river of Kishon Sisera, the captain of the Jabin's army with his chariots and his multitude. And I will deliver him into thine hands. And Barak said, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But the instruction, this is where it's happened. The following the instructions. God gave instructions to Noah to build an ark. If he had made it 1 inch different, it would have sank. Thank you. I really needed that. The instruction you have to follow, literally, the way God sent you to do it. And for that, you have to be able to hear his voice. My sheep know my voice and they follow. You have to be able to hear his voice and follow the instructions. Go at that mountain, wait because we're going to fight together. You know what I want to tell the church? Whatever you're going through is not your battle. God is going to fight with you. Hallelujah. Whatever you're going through, whatever. And no matter what you're happy, you never lose a battle. It's probably we did not expect it to happen this way. But we are always on the winning side. You give Jesus a hand clap. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. So now he's up there. He said, Deborah said, okay, I will go with you, but there's something else I have to tell you. The victory and everything will be given to a woman. Because Deborah is a woman that hears from God. She knows because God and her has a personal relationship, an intimate relationship. He tells her, she listen, and she answer. Now, I will be finishing with this part. We are living in an era that God is bringing the family together. You see how we come together this morning? It's because we're going to go. God has a bigger plan. Jamie, God has a bigger plan. Because he's bringing family together. And we as a family have to listen. The word of God says, he told him, took 1,000 men from Naphtali, Zebulun, go to Tabor, go to the mountain, do this. But you know, when the battle started, they were on the mountain. You know what God did? He brought rain. He brought so much of rain. It started to rain. The river overflowed their banks. The big chariots, they got stuck. The army of the enemy, they couldn't fight. And then Deborah up on the mountain with him, and God said, okay, tell him now to go and pursue. Because we are co-laborers with God. It's not our battle. It's his battle. We are co-laborers. It becomes a strainer. It becomes heavy when we think I have to do this or I can do that. But it's not like that. It is me trusting God, hearing what he has to say, and aligning myself with what he's doing. How many understand? So as they align themselves and he persecutes, he continue after Sisera and all the army of the enemy pursuing them, Sisera fled by foot. But this is what I'm showing you. Issachar. The tribe of Issachar. Issachar, they could have discerned the times and the season. He said, hey, that's my brothers fighting over there. I'm going to fight with them willingly. Because this is a battle. And what touched me is where they were fighting. They said, by the waters of Megiddo, there's where the last battle will be fought also. But you know what I said? Megiddo? I said, Lord, why there? Because that is the place where the enemy comes in and invade. Megiddo is a place of invading. So the enemy came in, he invaded our family. He invaded our government. He invaded our education system. He invaded everywhere where the church has to have a voice. When I went to St. Martin, I'm from Aruba, by the way, for those that do not know it. When I went to St. Martin, I went with a word from God. I was only 23 years. And when I went there, the first thing God spoke to me about is start a school. The education system. You understand what I'm saying? Start a rehab center. And start a ministry with a Spanish-speaking people. You understand? So I'm hearing God, and I'm going, do I know anything about education? No! Did I know anything about a rehab center? Absolutely not. But God partners us with people who knows. we still have the rehab center. And the education system was till the government put that it is obliged that everyone has to go to school. Because we had a lot of children out. When I started, I had over 200 children. But you know what a good part? Today, most of them are serving God. Some of them are leaders in our church. They are musicians. Sometimes I go to the bank, he said, "Don't you remember me?" And I was like, maybe the face look a little familiar. I don't know. He said, "I went to your school." But the enemy came in and invade the family, break down the structure, invade the school system, invade. That's the battle of Megiddo. And we cannot fight by ourselves. We have to partner together. We have to come together as a family. And woe to them that says, "This is not for me." Because Reuben, they stay home and ponder in their minds. I don't know what I will do. I don't think I'll go, but Issachar, he said, "Those are, we're going to fight with them." It's right there in the Song of Deborah, chapter 5 of Judges. Thank you for the 5 minutes, but I'm finished now. He says, Judges 5:15, it says, 5:23, I think it is. It says, "Curse ye Meroz," said the angel of the Lord. "Curse you bitterly, the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to help of the Lord, to help of the Lord against the mighty." So we are in a time of decision. Are we going to partner with our brothers? Am I going to believe God for my brother? Am I going to believe God for my sister? Am I going to believe God for Jamie? Am I going to believe God for each and every one of you? Am I going to stand in prayer? Am I going to say, "God, I believe you're going to do that work in him"? We give up sometimes too fast. I come to tell you, don't give up. Stand in faith. It doesn't matter what others say. Put faith into practice. That people might think you're crazy, but just go ahead and say it anyhow. Just go ahead and make that phone call anyhow. Just go ahead and believe God anyhow. Don't look that you don't have weapons. Don't look that the army is bigger. Don't look, no. Jesus cursed the tree because it had no fruit. The angel cursed Meroz because they did not come out to fight. The fight was the battle, and they had to come out to fight. So I want to tell you this morning, let us join together. Let us take back our nation. Let us take back our family. You say, "But what can I do? What could I do 23 years? God sent me to St. Martin. What could have I done?" The only thing I could have done is trust God and believe him. You can believe God for one family at a time. You can believe God for one neighbor. You can believe God for one child. But we have to fight together. The battle is the Lord. But we have the victory. Let us all stand this morning. Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to raise your hands with me this morning. And I know that God is talking to us about talking about faith. Sometimes it's very difficult to trust God when everything around you seems like it's falling apart. But raise your hand this morning in a sign of victory and say, "God, I trust you anyhow. Lord, I trust you in the name of Jesus." Father, Lord, look at all the hands that are raising this morning. Father, Lord, is a sign of trusting in you. Trusting in you, Lord, to do what you have called us to do. You have placed us in that place, in that area, Father, in that neighborhood, to be light and to be salt, Lord, because that is who we are.
We are light and we are salt. Father, let the Savior of our life be a blessing to others. Let our prayer, oh God, uplift another. Let our prayer, oh God, heal the sick and the lame and the paralyzed. Father, Lord, not because of how we pray, but because who we trust in. And we trust you, Lord. Father, Lord, we are stepping into this era where we've never been before. But we are trusting that you, oh Father, that still voice will tell us this is the way, walk in it. We are trusting in that voice, Father. Not in our circumstances, not in what is happening around us. Father, Lord, blind us to everything, but open our eyes to you, oh Father. That has a special need. And I declare, God, that there is power in the blood of Jesus. And I speak to that sickness. I speak to that pain. I speak, oh Lord, to that situation. And I said, depart in the name of Jesus and be healed in the name of Jesus by the power, oh Father, that you have bestowed on us. And you said, whatever you ask in my name, it shall be done. So Father, this morning, as we join faith in our prayer and we join with the word, I declare it is done. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you this morning.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Lifeline Church. We hope this message has been an encouragement to you. We are a relational church who live to demonstrate God's love to one another and our surrounding community in real and practical ways. We believe that this love can restore our families, our friendships, our communities, and our nation. We'd love to connect further with you, so please visit our website, lifelinechurch.co.uk, or interact with us on Facebook at lifeline.church.uk.